Okay, so this morning is the third Sunday of Advent. Get my words out. Welcome to all on Facebook in Facebook land. I hope you're going to enjoying the service this morning. We're looking at the angel Gabriel visiting Mary. As part of that nativity, how do I follow that? That was so fun, wasn't it? We were going to go live by video conferencing to Bethlehem, but there was no Zoom at the inn. I'm sorry. There's more. No, sorry, there isn't any more. Last time I was on this stage was Friday night. Some of you who came to the comedy night will have seen that, and I'm still a bit traumatized, actually. If those who were there, there's a few of us were called up on stage, chosen, as it were, to perform, and it was quite an interesting event. So yeah, I'm still a bit kind of shaky. But seriously, it was a great evening, and I want to say thank you to everyone. Not everyone's here who helped, but it was a fantastic evening to see the church full of people, not necessarily from our church, but from outside as well, having fun with the two comedians and having carols. You know what? I thought that's what we should be. We should have fun as Christians. We have got the best news, the best message that there possibly is. Yeah, so we should be the most joyful people on this planet, and it's great to experience something of that. So I'm going to move on. We've got 13 verses from Luke. So I'm going to read these out, and then we're going to expand on them. So Luke 1, verse 26 to 33, first of all. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Thank you, Lord, for your word. So this is a simple story, really. You've probably heard it many times. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary. She explains she's going to have God's son. Mary says, "Okay." Angel leaves. That's it. End of sermon. That's it, really. That's the story. That's the story. But there's a lot more to unpick and look at in this story than just those simple statements. Lots just to ponder about a young girl with tremendous faith and trust. First of all, I'm not quite sure how qualified I am as a white middle-aged man to talk about what Mary experienced. A young girl probably scared to death to see an angel appear before her. I don't know about you, I've never really seen an angel. I'm not sure how I would respond. An angel appeared in front of me. I don't know what you think angels look like. Do they have wings? Do they not? Are they like the weeping angel in Doctor Who? I don't know. I think I would be pretty terrified to see a big celestial being appear in front of me. So I'm going to break this passage down into several pieces. First of all, let's take a look at Mary. Her name was Mary. A young woman, she was probably, at that time they married very young, so she was probably in her mid-teens. Her husband Joseph was from the line of David, fulfilling many of the Old Testament prophecies from Isaiah 11 and from Jeremiah 23. But this story is not about Joseph. This story is not even about the angel visiting, really. This is about a young woman for a change. There are so many stories in the Bible about men of God. This is a story about a young woman, a young child almost. So let's focus on her and look at her story. Look at things from her point of view and see what we can learn. She's the main character in this story. As a bit of background, the angel Gabriel had also visited Elizabeth, Mary's relative. She was probably her aunt or a cousin. And Elizabeth wasn't able to have children. She was old. But the angel said, you're going to have a child. And the angel appeared to Zechariah, her husband, who was a priest, who should have had lots of faith and believing in everything. He appeared to the angel, and basically, Zechariah didn't believe the angel. And so he was struck dumb until the baby appeared. But not Mary, as we will see. Highly favored. The angel came up to her and said, "You are highly favored. The Lord is with you." In some Christian circles, Mary is sometimes revered as being a very special lady, and she is. But she's favored because she's chosen, not chosen because she's favored. What I mean by that is God chooses who he wants to choose, and he makes them special. He's chosen us to be his sons and daughters. So we're special because he has chosen us to be his sons and daughters. And sometimes God chooses things that are seen in the world's eyes as very weak. If you look at 1 Corinthians 27, it says, "God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise." God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Now, I'm not saying that Mary is weak, but she was a young girl. I'm not saying she was weak by any strength, by any stretch. So please hear me right. She proves throughout her life what a strong lady she is. She was a young girl from a nowhere town in a nowhere country at the edge of the great Roman Empire, nowhere special. But God sends an angel to tell her she is favored. She's favored. And here Gabriel is also saying to Mary, God is with you. He's not saying this is going to happen and you're on your own. He's saying God is with you. God is reminding her, as he would have reminded many people throughout the Old Testament. In Isaiah 41, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you." So often we are fearful that God isn't going to be with us when he asks us to do something. God says, "I am going to be with you in this." Like I say, Mary, she would have experienced shame to stand in that day and age to be pregnant. She's not even married, and to be pregnant, she would have experienced shame from her family, from her community. A strong, strong lady. She grows up to see her baby born, to see Jesus perform miracles, to see Jesus perform miracles, and then to be nailed to a cross. This is not some weak lady. God knew who he was choosing at that time. He knew he was choosing Mary. Greatly troubled. Mary was greatly troubled at the words. I love the Bible sometimes. The understatement, do you know what I mean? Yeah, Mary was greatly troubled. It's like she was terrified probably. This massive big angel appearing before her. She would have been shocked and amazed, just like Zechariah was. I mean, these kind of things don't happen in Nazareth. They don't, you know, these kind of things don't happen in West Kirby. These kind of things don't happen in our lives. But she was visited by the angel in an unexpected place, an unexpected time. And the angel reassures her, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." And then he gives her some amazing, amazing promises. She's going to give birth, even though she's a virgin. A son's going to be called Jesus, he who saves. And he is going to be the Son of God, and he's going to be a king forever. Greatly troubled, I'm not surprised. She's wondering, what is this guy on about? And then she asks the angel, "How will this be? How's this going to happen?" She doesn't doubt that it's going to happen. I mean, he's told her some amazing things that's going to happen. She doesn't doubt and say, you're joking. She says, go on then, how's it going to happen? How will this play out? She doesn't doubt. Zechariah the priest had doubted. He'd said, oh, that can't be right. Can't be right. My wife's old. She can't have a baby. Mary doesn't say that. She says, how will this be? She steps out in faith. She doesn't question that the child's going to be the Son of God. She doesn't question what the angel is saying to her. Just saying, come on, then tell me. I need to know. I'm a young girl. I'm not sure what's going to happen, how this is going to take place. And then the angel says some important words. He says, for no word from God will ever fail. And the word in the Bible, there's very often different words used for the word. The word logos normally means like the written word of God. And the word rhema is used, the word Greek word rhema is used to mean the spoken, the kind of directed, the delivered word of God. So to Mary, the angel comes and says, this is the word that God is speaking to you. This is not just something that's written down. This is like directly, this is for you. And it's important to know the difference between those words, because sometimes our English doesn't always explain what was written in the original Greek or in the original Bible. This word rhema is important. And I think this is important for several reasons. The main one is that we need to live by God's word. If you look at when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan, he answered the devil with these words. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word, every rhema that proceeds from the mouth of God. We live by the words that God gives to us. God wants to speak. God is speaking all the time. We're not very good at listening. I don't know about you. I'm not always very good at listening to what God is saying. But God has a plan and a purpose for each of us. He had a plan for Mary. He had a word for Mary that he said, this is going to be fulfilled. An amazing fulfillment of that takes place. God has a plan for whether we're young, whether we're old, whether we're male or female. God's got a rhema word, I believe, for each of us. And finally, Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word, may your rhema word to me be fulfilled. She's saying, I believe you. I believe what God is speaking to me through you, angel Gabriel. I believe what God is saying to me. Let it be fulfilled. I'm not going to hold God back. I'm not going to hold you back. I'm going to say, yeah, I'm going to go with you and do what you want me to do. Your word is going to be fulfilled. I'm going to be your follower. I'm going to trust you and what you say and believe everything that's going to happen, that it's all going to come to fruition. This is a challenge to us, to every one of us as Christians. Do we trust him in what he says to us? When he asks us to step out, will we step out? Or we say, oh, I'm not sure that's going to work out, God. Are you sure you know what you're doing? But I don't believe any of us are too young, too old, the wrong gender, the wrong color, for God to speak to us and for God to use us. Often we think, I'm insignificant. I'm in a small town on the west of the Wirral. God doesn't speak to me here. God doesn't use me here. And I believe God wants to change our attitude and change our hearts and change our minds this morning. He wants us to believe that he can do things through us. He can do simple things through us. It may be a simple thing. He's not asking us to go and change the world. He was asking Mary to have a baby. It turned out to be the most important birth in the whole of the universe, in the whole of the world, the whole of creation. So you might think, I'm insignificant. You know, maybe that's how we feel. In the grand scheme of things, what can I do? What does God want me to do? How can I play a part? But that's not how God sees us. That's not how God sees each of you out there this morning. He's got a plan for each of us. And that's different for each of us because we've all got different things, different talents, different skills, different gifts that he wants to give to us. I've been an elder since June. If I asked me a year ago, are you going to be an elder? I'd have said, no way. I don't think I feel suitable. I don't think I'm ready. Don't think I'm capable or equipped. But God has been gracious to me, and I believe I stepped out. I still don't feel ready or capable or equipped or totally, but I'm doing the best that I can with what God has given me. And God doesn't always give us what we need until we step out. God didn't give Mary the baby until she said, yeah, it's going to be fulfilled. I'm going to step out and to follow you. It's a challenge for us. And the clicker stopped working. Right, there we go. Are we prepared to trust God like Mary? Will we believe his rhema word to us? Do we believe us when he says something to us? He might not speak to us through an angel. He might speak to us through someone else. He might speak through to some of them in our family, someone in the church, someone at work, someone at school. He may speak to them and think, God's challenging me to step out and do something different here. The question is, are we going to believe it or are we going to ignore it? Are we going to doubt it like Zechariah? Are we going to say like Mary, yeah, Lord, let's go for it. Let your word to me be fulfilled. We might be greatly troubled like Mary, stepping out into the unknown, not knowing what that may look like. This girl, this young girl, was troubled, scared, wondering what it was all about. She deliberates, thinks, oh, what's this all about? But at the end of it, she says, yeah, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be fulfilled. Will we be like Mary? It's a challenge for every time I speak, I always think, God, I'm speaking to myself as well. Because, yeah, I need to hear this message as well. Will I step out and do what God asked me to do? Whatever it might be in every simple day life, will I do what God is asking me to do? Will I be like Mary and say, yes, Lord, let your word, your spoken rhema word to me be fulfilled. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to listen to a song, which I think really kind of sums up what God wants us to say to us this morning. And that's the question is whether we are available. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the example of Mary. A simple faith that says, yes, Lord, I trust you, whatever it might be you're asking me to do. I will step out and say, yeah, yes, your word, let it be fulfilled to me. And Lord, for some of us this morning, we may be thinking, God, I don't know what's going on in my life at the moment. Lord, I need you to kind of give me some direction. I need you to give me some word. I need you to kind of help me to step out and do what you are calling me to do in whatever area of my life it may be. I thank you, Lord, you've got a plan, a purpose for each one of us, wherever we may be, in whatever insignificant place or insignificant town we think we might be in, Lord. You've got a great plan for each one of us. Lord, I pray that like Mary, we will say yes, Lord, and that we will make ourselves available. Because when we make ourselves available, you will then make yourself available to us. You promise to be with us and to equip us and to be with us in whatever we're doing. So we thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.